name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Run, Barry, run!
Welcome to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. Thanks for kicking back, laying in your lawn chair, and slowing down just for a moment in the sun. I'm your host, Josh.
And I am insert villain here. Oh, man, I totally forgot to change the template here.
Oh, no,
we didn't have a show.
That's okay, because it's summertime. So the villains are all on hiatus.
Oh, sweet.
They take that villain siesta in the summertime. Nobody gets attacked in the summer. It's not like, you know, so it's like May in Star City is really bad. But then in June, it's very quiet. Nothing happens.
Oh, okay. Cool. Well, then I am on hiatus.
There you go. There you go. That'd be a good name for a superhero. You've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show, The Flash, with discussion and commentary on all things Flash. And since it is summer, we will be discussing the gamut of Flash topics. Since
oh my gosh, we got there's a little from column A and a little from column B and a little from column X.
that's the bonus secret menu too. I think we have a couple things from that.
I believe so.
That's right. So thank you guys for joining us on our summer special, the first one of this summer 2016, and looking forward to kind of catching up with you a little bit, Jay. And actually, I'm happy to get to talk about Flash. It seems like it's been forever, and I've had to kind of go back and watch some of the shows from this season just to quench my thirst.
I've got a bucket list for Flash that I want to do this summer, and I feel like summer is like speeding by, and I haven't done anything for it yet. I want to work on the timeline because, you know, I feel like especially with what's going to start happening with season three and potentially changing the timeline or going alternate universes or whatever they're going to be doing. I just want to know where he's been and what he's done, you know, when he's changed the past and stuff like this. And it's not too many, but I just want to kind of, you know, rewatch parts of the episodes and pick this stuff up. And I have not had time to do that.
Well, I have watched the last few episodes of the season, and I've also gone back and I've read some older comics. I went ahead and read the Flashpoint comic. Just to kind of refresh my memory on that. I'll probably do that again before the season premiere later on, maybe in September sometime. I'll read that.
I got the trade paperback sitting out here to have whoever wants to read it in the house.
Mine is right there as well. And also, I've also been perusing again the Flash Celebration of 75 Years book that I have, which starts way back at the first issue with Jay Garrick.
That's the hardcover, right?
That's the hardcover one. I got that. I think I got that for Christmas this last year, and so I've been reading through that again. That's kind of fun to see how the character, the costumes, and the abilities, and the Speed Force, and everything have kind of evolved through those 75 plus years now. So
that's a beautiful collection. All the 75 year collections. There's a Captain America one that's out, and a Marvel one that they did a few years ago. All really nice.
Right. Yeah, I recommend picking that one up just because you'll catch here and there. You'll catch little things that they have been putting in the Flash TV series that you can tell from some very old comics as well. So, and I like looking at those classic ones again, the ones that are kind of iconic, you know, like the Flash of Two Worlds cover, like that kind of thing. I like looking at those because you don't probably realize some of the stuff that you're seeing on the TV show until you go back and go, oh, I knew I had seen that somewhere, you know. So I like looking at those comics. I recommend that. You can get that. You can find that. And I've seen it in bookstores and on Amazon and online and all over. So recommend getting that one. So, all right. Well, we do have some news that we want to get to kind of catch up from the time that we've been off so far. So let's take a look at some news.
Well, hey, Josh, I'm glad, you know, that we could like sit down together and be face to face to talk a little bit about the Flash this summer here.
I didn't expect to get to do this with you. It's been about a year, just over a year, that I actually got to sit down with you and talk face to face. We never get to do that. So I'm glad, since I was on this side of the country where you live, I'm glad you got it.
On the right side, right side of the country.
The right side, yeah, unless you're, you know, looking upside down, and then it's the left side or the bottom side, whatever. Anyway, it's good to see you face to face. I'm glad we got a chance to do this, and thanks for letting me visit your city.
Yeah, not a problem, man. So this is great, and I'm glad we get a chance to talk a little bit about the Flash here for one of our summer specials.
I'm already kind of jonesing talking about it. It's only been a few weeks, but I miss it.
Yeah,
I miss it. So, but we do have a few things to talk about while we're waiting for season three. So
season three already. Wow. Yeah.
I know. Can you
believe it? Man.
We've got a little bit of news for season three.
Okay.
Coming up.
Yeah.
So,
what do we got?
News of a new recurring character for season three. No surprise, of course. I mean,
no,
they do this on all the shows we talk about. There's always a new recurring character. But this one's interesting to me. Sounds like it might be – you were kind of describing it to me as a contemporary of
Barry.
Yeah,
the way it was described in the article I saw was a contemporary of Barry's that was slightly older. Whether that means they actually work in the police field, you know, at the police station or something like that, or it's just a friend of his or something like that. But it's someone that he knows, Barry knows, and that knows that something's up with Barry and wants to find out why he's being so weird. Some people
That's
have speculated,
the way it's raised, man. You know, could, I mean,
some people have speculated it could be Ted Kord, which would be kind of interesting. But I don't know if. I believe there were reasons that they didn't use that character previously, like on Arrow and stuff like that, because it's hands-off for whatever reason. But
we do know there are characters that are hands-off for this particular universe. We've never really gotten specific information about Ted Kord being one of those, or even a Ted Kord Blue Beetle project.
Right.
Specifically.
I mean, we've seen Kord Industries signed, so we know that there is a character out there potentially that exists, but whether they can actually use him or not.
I'm a huge fan of Blue Beetle. I really enjoyed reading Blue Beetle back in the 90s, especially with Booster Gold. And I hope that's who this is, because I would like to see something like that between him and Barry. That's a completely different relationship than he has with any of the other characters on the show right now, so I think it would fit in really well. And it's got potential for fun problem-solving kind of things, because that's what Blue Beetle does, right? I mean, he's...
Maybe even on Legends Tomorrow, too.
Oh, that would be great, too.
Which would be interesting, yeah.
And I would be okay with an introduction of Ted Kord that could potentially be on Legends of Tomorrow, as long as they don't drag it out too long.
Right, right.
But yeah, I think that's I think that would be great if that's who it ends up being. We'll see how it goes, but I'm excited to see the prospects. They'll pick a character that fits the show really well.
And whether or not they're a superhero or not, we'll have to see. I'm sure we'll have some more information on one of our next shows about that. So.
Right, right. So, another thing that, of course, is available for us to talk about over the summer here is the DC Rebirth comics.
Yeah. The Flash Rebirth was pretty cool. I had a chance to take a look at that, and I haven't seen the Flash number one yet, but Flash Rebirth really ties a lot into the Rebirth one-shot. So the Flash is integral to the Rebirth storyline, I guess. Wally West, who hadn't existed in the New 52, is back, and he's helping Barry remember elements of his life before the Flashpoint, before the New 52, which is kind of interesting. So I'm interested to see how this works. But the Rebirth, whereas like a Green Arrow Rebirth was kind of a complete story in it, this feels more like a setup, a real zero issue for the Flash comic that's coming.
Okay.
So there's not much to say about it other than you know, it's kind of rebooting itself. It, you know, it tells his origin a little bit. But it feels a lot like the TV show. There are a lot of elements that are very similar to the TV show, with his dad having been in prison and his mom having been killed. I mean, even though those things come from, like, the Flashpoint era.
How much of that do you think they're going to get in the comic. Do you think that the show, I mean, clearly the show has been a success, and it has influenced a variety of other things, such as the creation of Legends of Tomorrow and,
yeah.
and you know, I mean, moving Supergirl over to CW and things like that. But the Flash comic book has been, it's one of the oldest comic book stories yes. there is,
yeah.
Continuing.
Yeah.
And do you think that the show is going to influence it that much, or do you think it just is kind of a coincidence that there's those elements?
I think it's kind of the way that the characters speak, and because like Iris is not African American on the show on the comic, mm-hmm. right? Because she never has been in the comics. She's Caucasian, but they have introduced an African American Wally West character in the comic books,
right.
which appears to be directly influenced by the TV show. So it's these weird, subtle little things, and it's things they can do that are, quote, changes to the timeline that, you know, because comics, right? You know, they change stuff all the time in comics and can introduce characters. So I think they're taking little cues from that. It's like, what's working and what do people enjoy about the show? They're trying to bring some of that element in, but they're also trying to take a lot of the stuff that is The Flash, that is Barry Allen from 1960s and then the 70s and the 2000s and Wally West from the 90s and the 2000s and stuff like that. And, you know, kind of cram it all, take the best of everything and kind of cram it all together and if okay. it's see what's working and what doesn't work. So
well, and I mean, I guess that is a smart thing to do. I mean, you want to pick what's working, especially, you know, if you want something successful in any given time period,
yeah.
you got to pick things that are working with the people that are involved in that time period. But,
yeah.
You know, hopefully they can make it their own, just like I think the CW has made theirs, you know, the show something unique and original
right.
while being traditional. So.
Right. And I think that you know, like I said, this feels like a setup for the regular series. So I think we'll see the regular series, you know, come into its own, and there'll be a lot more that's happening that will be branched off, and we won't be saying, oh, there's comparisons to the TV show and stuff like that.
Yeah.
As we move on. Okay, and I just wanted to follow up since we recorded that bit. We have found out that Tom Felton has been cast as this new recurring character. And why does that name sound so familiar?
Tom Felton?
Yeah.
He's just one of those guys, you know. No, Tom Felton is a well-known actor that most people would probably recognize him as Draco Malfoy from the Harry Potter movies.
Oh, of course.
And
yes.
then, of course, he's been in a few other things. He's been on a few TV shows, and I think wasn't he in the first Planet of the Apes movie a few years back?
Oh, the
reboot.
Dawn of, or which, the
yeah.
the one with, yeah.
The apes?
Well, yeah, but before the before they take over, not the Marky Mark one.
Right, right.
But
no, yeah, no, not the Marky Mark one.
Marky forgot, Mark and the Monkey Bunch?
Forgot about that one. That was,
well, I mean, that's technically the first of the recent Planet of the Apes films, but now that actually probably was a decade or so ago, I guess.
Yeah, so this is the dawn of the Planet of the Apes, so...
cool.
But anyway, yeah, and he was not a very nice person in that one either. So,
so I'll be interested to know if he's doing his English accent or if he's going to adopt an American accent for this.
You know what? If I'm remembering correctly, in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, I think he had an American accent. So I you know, if he's going to be playing a CSI in Central City, I would guess that he has an American accent, but I guess we'll see. I'm more curious to see who this character is. I have not heard of Julian Dorn before. Do you know who that is?
No, it doesn't ring a bell.
And I didn't do much investigating or anything like that, but I'll have to kind of see. He's a little curious about Barry and Barry's odd behavior, I would guess.
Yeah, well, and putting Tom Felton in this role is really interesting just due to the fact that, you know, he's got the history of being a antagonist, if you know, from the Harry Potter films. So, you know, that's part of his character will probably be him acting a certain way, and we'll be thinking, okay, so maybe he really is totally bad at where, you know, they may play to type. Or they may play against type, so that'll yep. be interesting to see what they do there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I always question recurring characters on this series because there are a lot more villains in the history of Flash comics, I think, than there are, you know, good guys. As far as now, I'm not counting like other superheroes like Justice League members and things like that, but like Flash superheroes, you know, like Jay Garrick and Max Mercury and Jesse Quick and people like that. And so recurring characters, I always get a little suspicious of, just especially after this last season. So, you know, if you're going to bring a Jay Garrick.
What have they done to you, Josh? Oh, my gosh. I can't believe they
I wouldn't call myself
that.
Jaded, just, you know, cautious. Now I'm just cautious. I don't trust anybody.
Optimistically cautious?
Oh, sure. So, here's another piece of news about a recurring character, or maybe a recurring character, but one that we are definitely going to be seeing in Season 3. Jesse Quick herself, Violet Bean, is going to be returning to Season 3. No idea how. But
yeah, I mean, her dad's going to be back, too.
Right,
so.
Tom Cavanaugh is coming back.
Tom Cavanaugh, yeah.
And we don't know how Dr. Wells will be playing a, you know, character, how he'll get back to our Earth here in this, but they have announced that he'll be back as well. So maybe they'll come together. I would suspect that she won't be on quite as often as
well, she wasn't on. Yeah, she was only on half the time anyway, I guess. So.
Right. But knowing what we know about her and her, you know, possibility of becoming a speedster, I don't know how much they'll use that based on what we think is going to be going on with the Flashpoint theory, I guess, of how Season 3 is going to be. But anyway, so Jesse Quick will be back. And so we got, let's see, Dr. Wells, we got Jesse Quick. Of course, all the other regulars that didn't go anywhere will be back. I'm sure as the months go on here before the premiere, we're going to hear at least of a couple more people coming to the show.
Yeah, the Arrow's been surprising because they've been just spewing out names and names and names and names. And, you know, I guess the kind of the cool thing about The Flash is you don't necessarily have to bring in new characters because you've got the opportunity for time travel, flashbacks, and alternate Earths, so you can keep using your existing cast, but have them playing different characters or different versions of themselves. Whereas, you know, Arrow has to, you know, if they want new characters, they have to bring new characters to town or, you know, introduce them in ways like that.
No, so. I don't think I asked you this yet, or maybe we were kind of discussing it at the end of the season there. But so if Tom Cavanaugh comes back, is he going to be Harrison Wells from Earth 2, or is he going to be a completely different version?
I think we talked about this a little bit on the season finale of the podcast. I have been saying that I think it's going to be the Earth One Harrison Wells, the real one, the one that Thawne didn't kill, who had survived, and we'll probably also see him as Earth Two Harry Wells if Jesse Quick's coming, or if Jesse Wells is coming back, then
yeah, well,
we'll probably see him as well.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if the real Harrison Wells didn't die, he could have had a daughter of his own. So maybe it will be Earth
One,
Jesse.
Oh, my gosh. Jeez. Yeah, you're right.
Well, that's why it's fun to speculate. See, there's so many different possibilities. So, well, you know, we will get a chance to go back and review any shows that our DVR has erased or when the Blu-ray comes out. And that has – it's been a while now, but I guess about a month since the Blu-ray was announced. But they've revealed the cover art and the bonus features that will be on the Blu-ray. And it's going to be out on September 6th of this year. So I think we get a little more time this year to peruse the Blu-ray than we did last year.
Well, let me just – consult my
you look into that
handy list right here. So last year the season premiered on the 6th of October and we got the Blu-ray on the 22nd of September.
Yeah, so quite a bit more time, at least. Like,
yeah, so that was only like two weeks.
Yeah, so we got about three more weeks this year to watch it, which is good. I like having the opportunity to go back and just – I don't really have time to watch the entire season that time of year, you know, but I can kind of pick and choose the episodes that I know will help me catch up, you know, and there's a few key episodes from this season that I think I'll go back and check out.
And you're going to want to watch the ones that maybe have the director commentary or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And okay, so they, like I said, they announced the bonus features that are going to be on the Blu-ray. And I'm pretty excited about some of these, you know, I mean, to me, they can always include more bonus features. I love having bonus features that's why I continue to buy discs as opposed to just, you know, streaming on Netflix and things like that for shows, because then you have a hard copy of those and they usually include a lot more bonus features. I know you can usually find them online, but I still like having them real easy there. So
sure.
3 hours of bonus content.
Okay. That sounds good.
That's not bad. Not bad. A few behind-the-scenes shots. I think they did that last year with Grodd and a few other things. This one says it's going to have some visual effects featurettes for almost every episode. So that's great to hear. I love that.
I do like seeing the way they build stuff. I saw something online, too, with how they built Grodd, and it was I think it might have been David Sobolov posted it on his Facebook. It was you know, for like the Academy, one of the Academy voting, you know, for,
television
Emmys, you know, special effects are on TV. And it was basically the assembly of Grodd and stuff like that. So,
yeah. I loved watching that. It was very eye opening how much work goes into those quick little scenes. It's incredible. It's incredible. So, all right. So they're going to have Star-Crossed Hawks, the featurette, and Star-Crossed Hawks, the Hunt for Vandal Savage. And just re-emphasizing that season 2 was a launching pad for Legends of Tomorrow. They want to make sure they include that on the Blu-rays as well.
I have to feel like since it's – I mean, one's called Star-Crossed Hawks. The other one's called Star-Crossed Hawks, the Hunt for Vandal Savage. I have to feel like that's kind of a typo. It seems silly.
Like they might be the same thing?
They might be the same thing. Also, the fact that those two featurettes are also listed – on the Arrow DVD and Blu-ray set. So I'm hoping it's just the one thing and it's on both sets. I'd be okay with that. Two things on both sets, that's bad because your core audience is going to be buying both of these.
Yeah.
And you don't really want to piss off that demographic.
I agree with that, yeah. So. I mean, you just don't have to watch it. It's no big deal, but I am with you. And it does seem odd that they would have those two things on. I'm okay with it being on there because that is where the characters started. And quite frankly, I'll be buying the Legends of Tomorrow season 1. So I don't know what they'll have on there. Bonus features, but
Star-Crossed Hawks featurette and the Star-Crossed Hawks Hunt for Vandal Savage featurette.
I think that's probably a good guess.
A safe bet, yeah.
All right, but they do have some other things Flash related. The Many Faces of Zoom featurette, Chasing Flash, which I think was Matt Damon's sequel to... No, this is something different. This is...
No, you were thinking Kevin Smith's. Yeah.
Kevin Smith. This is the Journey of Kevin Smith featurette. So, Chasing Flash. Yeah, there you go. See? that's cute. Actually, I'm very interested to see that. As much as we talked about Kevin Smith's episode that he directed and how the actors felt about him, I am very curious to see him in action. And, I don't know how much they caught of him on set, but... that ought to be kind of fun. Then, as is typical of the CW Hero shows on the Blu-rays, they have the 2015 Comic-Con panel of The Flash and the 2015 Paley Fest of The Flash. Those are fun to watch. You know, they're usually easily accessible online. You can find that stuff. But those are always kind of fun to have and watch. And the thing about those is they tend to be very old. And they're talking about...
Yeah, because it's pre the season.
Yeah, and so they're talking about stuff that we've already seen and know about that they're not allowed to say. So so they're interesting to go back and see what we didn't know and how things may have changed in our mind. But other than that, I usually just watch those once and then move on. But and then, of course, we have deleted scenes. No information on this site that I'm looking at here about how many deleted scenes or how many of the episodes will have deleted scenes. But I like going back and seeing what we did miss out because they had to cut for time.
Yep.
And finally, of course, you know, you got your gag reel.
I can only imagine that the Flash gag reel will be hilarious. the one from season one was pretty good. And they seem like they have they're having such a good time on the set. I can only imagine that there'll be some good stuff there.
They do. They just seem so much slower in the gag reel. I don't know. So, and then one other thing I wanted to mention, I really do appreciate this and like that they did this on both the Arrow Blu-rays and the Flash Blu-rays. They're going to have the crossover episode for Arrow and Flash. They're going to have those on each of the series Blu-ray sets. So the Arrow episode, Legends of Yesterday, which crossed over with the Legends of Today Flash episode, will be on this set. So you don't have to buy the Arrow set if you only want that one episode and vice versa. So,
yeah, that's cool.
That is a rare display of gifting for the fans.
Yeah. Because, well, I mean, considering it really was a two-part episode this year.
Right.
As opposed to the crossover last year was you didn't have to have either one. But again, like you said, since this was building towards Legends of Tomorrow and everything, these two episodes, you know, were the starting point for that. So, and they both told half of the story. So,
and so thank you CW for putting that on there. Cause I appreciate that. Plus the only just watching thing, them in order, you know, it's kind of nice to not have to put another disc in.
Right. The only, it's probably going to be split between two discs. The only thing that, it is not on here that I would like to have seen was the Supergirl episode with the Flash.
Yep. I agree with that. That would have been nice.
I can only imagine because they hadn't made the CW deal yet and all that kind of stuff.
I don't know how complex that would be, but
yeah.
So, all right. So I am looking forward to that. You can pre-order it now from Amazon, and it will be out on September 6th if you want to just go in the store and buy it, or if you can wait till then. So, season
and it
two
looks like it's $54.97 right now on Amazon. It will probably drop in price right before it gets released. So pre-order now, you get that pre-order guarantee and all that stuff.
Yeah, Amazon will drop the price, right? If
If it drops to a lower price, you'll get the lowest price before it shipped, whatever that was.
Wonderful.
And they're really good about that. Like 2 days later, you get a little note that says, "Hey, we only billed you X instead of Y." So, hey, you had mentioned, something about other schedules here, and we've got a Comic-Con schedule for people that are either A, going and interested to find out about what might be happening. Of course, you know, tons of stuff happening in San Diego at the Comic-Con, but these are the dates and times to kind of look out for, because there will be a lot of news coming, you know, on the different websites, and we'll try to get some information up as best we can. So on Wednesday, July 20th, just in general, this is from the CW press release. The studio's annual preview night will show the pilot for the new NBC superhero comedy Powerless, as well as CW has got a new show called Riverdale, which is based on the Archie comic characters, and a new show called Frequency. And then there's a new show on ABC called Time After Time. And then they're also going to show Teen Titans Go and a debut of the new cartoon series Justice League Action. So if you're going to preview night, you can catch all that stuff at 6 p.m. Then the main chunk of the CW shows that you guys listening to this podcast probably care about, they obviously have got stuff going on for Lucifer and iZombie. Some other cool shows that are on. Gotham, I think, is also on Saturday. But Saturday, July 23rd at 3:30, you've got your Supergirl panel. These are all in Ballroom 20, which is good. It's not Hall H, so they're not going to be super huge, but I don't know what kind of seating they've got. But the neat thing is, if you can get in there, you can just sit for basically 3.5 hours here and pretty much find out about all the superhero shows on CW.
So they don't Supergirl. Kick you out after each thing?
I don't know. You know what they probably do now? I haven't been to Comic-Con in forever, so yeah. It used to be that you could kind of hang out, but yeah. So let's see, Supergirl, and they don't have any of the cast or, you know, executive producers or anybody that's going to appear yet. So just stay tuned online to find out who's going to be talking and, you know, who's going to be appearing. Then at 4:15, DC Legends of Tomorrow, Flash will be on at 5, and Arrow will have a 5:45 slot. So that, you know, that makes it probably like these are only going to be like 30 minutes each because they probably have to have like a 15-minute clear the room break in between. So that's not really a lot, but I don't know. So, you know, late Saturday night, we'll probably start getting some information and probably have full reports by that next day on Sunday.
Right. So. Right. And if you can wait about a year and a half, then they'll probably be on the season 3 Blu-ray.
That is true.
So, all right. Well, one last thing. I wanted to make sure I remind everybody the season premiere of The Flash will be on Tuesday, October 4th. Okay? Tuesday, awesome. October 4th. So mark that down. Put the little reminder on your phone.
I was doing some graphing of when did previous seasons, you know, start and... You know, what days did they start and when did the Blu-rays and stuff come out?
Uh-huh.
And I have to say, I successfully guessed when The Flash was going to start.
Oh, very nice.
I didn't write down the date on my piece of paper when I created it, but I wrote my piece of paper out about 3 days before they made the announcement of the premiere date. So,
well, good job. Good job on that.
Quite happy, yes.
And, you know, the title is very interesting as well. And if you've been kind of online hearing a couple things said in the last week or two, you might have heard this, them teasing this. But the title of the season premiere is Flashpoint.
Woohoo!
So no huge shock there if you know anything about Flash lore. But it's kind of cool that they revealed that. And that's exactly where we thought they were headed. Now, how they're headed there, that's something completely different.
Do you think they're going to do Flashpoint in just one episode?
Oh my gosh, I hope not. I don't think that. I mean, I think they'll kind of get the ball rolling here and it's going to take, I don't think it'll take the entire season though. I think hopefully they can avoid that third season slump that Arrow kind of had, you know, keep the action packed and the pace of this series, which is always been pretty good, you know? So I'm hoping that they can kind of at least resolve the main problem of Flashpoint, which is time is screwed up, right? In, I don't know, 5 episodes? What do you think? What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I hadn't really decided on a time frame, but yeah, you know, 5 episodes sounds like, you know, it would probably be pretty good. I don't want them to obviously resolve it in one episode. I mean, that's they couldn't do anything but just barely, you know, scratch the surface.
The thing is about the doing something as big as Flashpoint and not having it take the entire season is that you can have other things come out of that. So we might see a big villain or something else that does, you know, reoccur over the rest of the season.
Sure.
Because of the events that happen in Flashpoint. So that's why I think they probably don't need to have it go all season. We'll see where they go though.
Now, looking at last year's schedule, they started it again at the beginning of October and they went 7 weeks without a break, which ended them right before Thanksgiving. So, they could do 5, 6, 7 episodes. If they did the first little part of the season before the first break as Flashpoint and resolve it just before they went on Thanksgiving break, because when they come back from Thanksgiving break, they've usually got like 2 more episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So then they could start to change gears and leave it at a mid-season cliffhanger, you know, of something else. You know, it's like, oh, good, we got that solved, but then something else comes up. I think that would be kind of cool because, A, it would give you a, you know, a nice set. It's not just a couple episodes. It's, you know, it's basically a quarter of your season is devoted to this storyline, which is relatively complex. Now, no way are they going to do it as complex as the as the comic book, but I'd love to see some stuff happening. Like, you know, they're not going to have Thomas Wayne as Batman or anything like that, I doubt.
No. I did have a few ideas I wanted to throw out. But you know what? We had a lot of people request one of our summer specials here be talking about Flashpoint. Now, we did do our very first summer special last year after season one. We did discuss Flashpoint, and we had our guest, Adam Banwick, was joining us to discuss his work on the
one of the storyboard artists.
Right, the movie, Flashpoint.
Yeah, the animated film, yep.
And so if you want to go back and, you know, kind of listen to that, we discussed all about the story, and we talked about some details. But just to kind of refresh our memory, so Barry wakes up and discovers that, well, all of a sudden his mother's alive, and a bunch of things in Central City are different. we have Captain Cold, is like the, you know, Central City's hero. He's called Citizen Cold in that, at least in the comic book he is. And his father is not alive. Henry died, but he just died of a heart attack. He was not in prison. And then getting into, you know, comics territory, the Justice League is not really doesn't exist, right?
They were never formed.
They were never formed, right? Superman is not around. There's no Superman in Gotham City.
Bruce Wayne died as a child in the shootout in the alley, and Thomas, the dad, survived.
Right, Thomas and his mom as well. But his mom did not do well. She was very depressed and went a little cuckoo and. Eventually became somebody else that you can check out. I don't know. Should we say? Has it been long enough? It's not going to be on the show.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
Okay, well,
They're not going to put on the show.
No, they're not going to put on the show. So she became the Joker, actually. So Bruce Wayne's mother was the Joker. Very, very creepy. But and then there's a variety of other heroes like Cyborg I guess – the Captain Marvels, I don't, however you want to call that. So there's other heroes, but it's much, much different. And Aquaman and Wonder Woman, former friends and lovers there, they're having a lover's spat, which is destroying all of Europe, basically. So
yeah. Well, you know, when the Amazons and the Atlanteans party, it gets a little out of control.
Yes, it does. So basically, Barry has to – he has no – speed. He has no powers, right? Because his accident never happened. So he goes to Thomas Wayne and kind of tells him something was funky. And because Thomas finds out that his son was alive, he wants to try to help Barry change the timeline so Bruce can survive. So he gets his powers back in a nice, disturbing way there. And then, you know, they got the climax of finale. So,
Beautifully drawn series. If you guys haven't read it, it's a trade paperback. I think it's what was it? 7 issues, I think, collected in the trade paperback.
There are. Yeah. And there's other issues in other comics. Like, I think there was Batman and.
Yeah. There were a lot of tie-ins.
Yeah. I can't remember the tie-in. And I don't think all of those are included in the trade paperback.
No, they're not. There's a separate trade paperback for the tie-ins, which has got like there's a story about Wonder Woman and a story about what Green Arrow's doing because he's an arms dealer. So, it's only 5 issues here. It's a 5-issue miniseries. Okay.
All right. Yeah. And it changed the DC universe forever, basically.
Until now.
No. It changed it forever. And now they're having to change some things back. But
change it again forever.
It's still not going to be the same as it was before Flashpoint. So
true.
So I wanted to ask you now they're doing Flashpoint in the series, the TV series.
Yeah.
And I wanted to kind of get your idea on some speculation of how they're going to get all of that wealth of story and information from the comics and the animated movie into this series, because there's certain things I know that they have to stay away from. They won't be including any, you know, Batman. I would imagine that they would stay away from some of the other superhero characters.
Here's the thing.
Aquaman,
I think that
Wonder Woman, but
I think that the scope of the scope of Flashpoint, because it, like you said, it changed the DC universe forever. It affected every character, and it had most characters in it, like the big tie-ins, you know, like Crisis on Infinite Earths or Final Crisis or Identity Crisis or something like that. So I don't think it's going to have any of the other heroes or any of that stuff. There's, you know, he's not going to discover Thomas Wayne. We're not going to find, we might hear about, you know, as an Easter egg that there is, you know, an Amazon attack or something like that. But like, mm-hmm. that's going to be the extent of it.
Okay.
But I think the things that will be in there, and also, I mean, some of the stuff they've kind of already used, the whole Barry loses his powers and has to get him back through kind of their own experiment. They kind of did that here in season two. So
agreed. However, he's not going to have any powers after this, right? Or I guess we don't know that for sure.
We don't know for sure, but if, yeah, I mean,
if he's preventing it from happening in the first place.
Yeah, if he went back in time and stopped his mom from being killed, he would not have gotten powers at some point. I mean, we saw his future self or his past future self fade away from the house at the end of the season. So, yeah, conceivably, he's not going to have any powers. So it may be a kind of a rehash of him trying to get his powers back, but also trying to understand what's going on, because of course everybody else won't remember what he remembers. He's going to be the only one that knows that his mom had died and that he fought Thawne, yes. and stuff like this. And we may see, well, no, Thawne wouldn't necessarily exist at that point either, because he's a direct product of Barry.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So, unless you have some sort of, you know, oh, what did they call? Was it, I guess, a time remnant, right? That's how we saw Thawne to begin with, right?
Yep.
And, you know, and we won't get into, you know, if Barry did change time, then why would he still remember? Because, well, that's what Flashpoint was. Barry did remember, right?
Except so, it was slowly slipping away.
Right, right. So real quick here, let me ask you this, though. Could they just change some of those characters like Batman into characters that are kind of free game for CW shows? Could they make a Batman Green Arrow? You know, maybe Oliver died on the boat and his father became Green Arrow.
And have Robert be Green Arrow? Wow.
Yeah, maybe Dr. Wells is that Batman character somehow. What about this? This might be a little too similar to what we saw in the finale, but what about Henry? Could he do something like that?
Yeah.
Now you are, of course, you know, you, like I said, some of them are off the table to use, like Batman. But apparently maybe Supergirl is no longer off the table. Could she play some sort of role like Superman did end up playing a minor role here in Flashpoint?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that could be. They, you know, there's going to be a crossover, which again will probably be after Thanksgiving break, right at the beginning of December. That's when they tend to do their crossovers, right before the like the 2 weeks before they go on hiatus. So when they come back from Thanksgiving break, they do their crossover right there.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and then
that's totally possible. Yeah.
You know, you got your cyborg who played a big role in the storyline of Flashpoint.
Yeah,
because
he was the big superhero. Really, mm-hmm. There was no Flash, so I mean, Cyborg was kind of like just
now
the superhero.
Yeah, there will be a Cyborg movie in the works, but that doesn't necessarily
he's Justice
mean he's,
League.
Yeah, that doesn't necessarily mean he's off the table though, because there's a Flash movie coming out too. I mean, you know,
true.
I haven't heard anything about Cyborg being off the table.
Right. I mean, and who knows? You know, it seems like, you know, they probably didn't have to kill off the Suicide Squad on Arrow, but they did anyway just to avoid confusion or whatever.
And they're making these rules up as they go anyway.
And
but
Superman's
maybe,
showing up on Supergirl and all that
yeah,
kind of stuff.
Yeah, maybe Cisco could play some sort of role like that, though. You know,
yeah.
I mean, and here you go. What about this? Is there going to be – I don't know. This was an important part of the Flashpoint story, but maybe it won't be on the series. If we have some sort of Wonder Woman-Aquaman confrontation but with characters that we've maybe seen – Hawk Girl and Adam, maybe. I don't know that if you've watched Legends of Tomorrow, you know that there's some history there. You got Killer Frost and Firestorm. Maybe there's something going on there that's destructive and deadly.
I don't know, man. Those are all really good ideas, Josh. I mean, obviously, there's they have a dearth of characters that they could use, and you've put a lot more thought into the different possibilities
I've spent the summer going, geez, how are they going to do this? How are they going to resolve it? How is he going to get his powers back and fix time? And then I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, you know what? They have a plethora of characters that they already have established on these shows that they could use to fill in these kind of blank spaces that were not working for me. So I don't know. None of that may come to pass. This could be a completely different version of Flashpoint, but I love thinking about it all summer long to see how they're going to go. And I'm sure whatever they do come up with is going to be way better than anything I thought of. So
yeah, definitely.
So, well, fantastic. So we'll kind of keep our eye out for that and, let us know what you guys think. You have any ideas of how much of the Flashpoint storyline from the comics or the animated movie that you think that they'll include in the TV series? And is there anything that you think they've absolutely got to include somehow? What do you think is absolutely vital for them to get into this version of Flashpoint? So let us know. I'd love to hear from you guys. And thanks to the people that wrote in and gave us some suggestions for some summer shows. Lots of people wanted us to talk about Flashpoint. So, and it gave me a lot of things to think about in June.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, there is a lot more to talk about, but I think we're out of time for this summer special. But you know what? We will be back. There's going to be even more to talk about later on.
We got plenty more summer specials and a lot more stuff to talk about. We'll definitely have a breakdown of stuff that was announced and talked about at San Diego Comic-Con. I'm sure there'll be, like you said, more announcements about who's coming back or new characters they're introducing and all sorts of stuff like that. And then look forward to the kind of the Blu-ray review by the end of the summer.
Yeah, for sure. So, and hey, it was fantastic to see you even just for a few minutes a few weeks back, and you and I got to sit down face to face and talk about Flash and other things. So, thank you for meeting up with me.
Oh, sure. It was totally worthwhile driving through traffic just to hang out with you for a couple hours. So I'm glad we could do that.
I'm glad it was worth it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for the Scarlet Velocity summer special, you and I are going to run.
And if you guys enjoyed the episode, please be sure to leave us feedback on iTunes. You can also contact us by email and let us know what you think they might be doing with Flashpoint at scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com. Hit us up on Twitter at Scarlet Velocity, or check out the Facebook page where we try to post a bunch of the news that's coming out as it happens here during the summer at facebook.com/Scarlet Velocity Podcast.
Yeah, and you can also check out our other shows, Green Justice and Arrow Podcast and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. All those are at randomchatter.com and on iTunes and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. We'll have some summer specials for those shows coming as well, so keep your eye out for those. And of course, if you enjoy this podcast, please make sure you tell your friends. And remember, life moves pretty fast, even in the summer. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.